We'd ask you tonight, if you would, to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 19th chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 19. For those that pastor churches, you probably have encountered times where you have difficulty arriving at a subject, at a topic, at a text, and labor and pray and seek the Lord's face. I've done that. This has been just the opposite. Brother Jim said, "Are you ready tonight?" I said, I am. I believe the Lord's given me a message, and I hope it'll be a blessing to us as His people. If the Lord would bless tonight, I want to preach a message entitled, "How Deep Is Your Love?" There was a song years ago, I believe that was probably in the 80s, I was in high school at the time, that was titled with that title, "How Deep Is Your Love?" It was written with regards to a person to another person. However, tonight I'm asking, "How deep is your love?" with regards to God. 2 Samuel chapter 19, I want to read verse number 24 through verse number 30. And we'll use this tonight as our text. We will begin here and we will move through the scriptures and then end here tonight if the Lord permits. Verse number 24, 2 Samuel chapter 19. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king." Saul has been killed, along with Jonathan and others. David is now the king. "When he came to meet the king," the Bible says in verse 24, "he had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace." I don't know if I went away if that's the kind of visitor I'd want to meet me. Verse 25, "And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let them take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." Our text introduces unto us a most blessed example of loyal devotion to the king. Despite the king being away for a period of time due to his adversary, whom God had enabled him to develop, Absalom, his own son. Absalom had turned against his father. Absalom desired the throne for himself. And he set out to gain folks to follow him. And even at the cost of the life of his dad, he was willing to go so far as to murder his own father to obtain the throne. That jealous and that zealous for that position. Ziba had defected. And we'll have more to say about him in just a moment. David had departed and left the throne. He was still the king. But he wasn't eating at the table. He had left because of Absalom's attempt to perform a coup. Though it seemed likely David would not return due to the increase in opposition. Each day that passed by, Absalom was gaining support with his followers. Yet some maintained their unquestionable loyalty to the king. I want us to look further into the lives of Ziba and Mephibosheth and prove the love of one for his king. Again tonight, I want us to contemplate upon this question, how deep is your love? You see, you and I have a king tonight as well. If we've been saved by the grace of God, we are a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To better understand the background as to why Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, comes down to meet the king in this manner, which would seem to be so disrespectful and so irreverent that he did not wash his feet, he did not shave, he did not clean his clothes. Yet nothing could be further from the fact that he did this to demonstrate his loyalty and love to the king. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. We want to look at two portions of Scripture, and then we're going to go back in the Bible and look at Ziba and Mephibosheth. Matthew chapter 24. And I want us to read tonight verse number 12. Listen to the words of this verse. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It doesn't say the love of all. The love of many. There are some that will maintain their loyal love to God. The second verse that I want us to consider tonight is Luke chapter 7. In this portion of the Word of God, we find the reason why that some will maintain their love for the Lord. Again, I ask tonight, how deep is your love? Luke chapter 7, verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." I'm thankful that he receives sinful men. And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." Verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." We find two characters in this portion of the Word of God, Ziba and Mephibosheth. One loved little, the other loved much. With those two verses in mind, the fact that when iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold, and to whom much has been forgiven, they love much. I want us to journey back now to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we will return to 2 Samuel chapter 19, Lord willing, in just a moment to make sense of the actions of Mephibosheth. I want you to see tonight that there was a covenant entered into before Mephibosheth was ever formed in the womb. There was a covenant that was entered into by two individuals before Mephibosheth ever was formed in the womb. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter, go back to 1 Samuel if you will, chapter 18. Let's look at this covenant real quick and we'll go back to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 18. David had just killed the giant. Saul had observed, wondered who this little stripling was, this midget of a man, so powerful and so confident. Yet his confidence and power came from God. And Saul desired to find out who this young man was. And when he was identified and brought to Saul, he further identified himself as the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Verse number 1 of chapter 18. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. These two young men had a great love and affection for each other. Nothing vile, nothing inappropriate, nothing at all dirty about it. But they had a great affection one for another. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have had an eternal affection one for another. And nothing can sever that relationship. Jonathan and David were as one knit together. And nothing can sever that relationship. I'm sure that these boys talked about, or these young men talked about their dreams, their ambitions, their desires, their goals. They covenanted together that if one prospers, the other will prosper. If one rejoices, the other will rejoice. If one weeps, the other will weep. Aren't we told to do the same as brothers and sisters in Christ? This covenant was more secured by another covenant that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And this is the covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 20 that really affected the offspring of Jonathan. Verse number 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 20. And just to give you some background, David was convinced that Saul hated him. David had settled in his mind that if Saul had an opportunity, he would kill David. And so David talked to Jonathan and said, Jonathan, I want you to do something for me. I'm not going to eat at the table. And if your father is mad because I don't show up, I know that will be indication he seeks my life. But if he asks where I'm at, you tell him I went back to Bethlehem. That I went back to serve and worship there. He didn't do that. But that's what he told Jonathan to do so that he could prove whether Saul really hated him at the level that David was convinced that he did. So verse number 11 is the covenant that's entered into. And Jonathan said unto David, come and let us go out into the field, And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace. And the Lord be with thee as he has been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then follow further in verse number 35. Jonathan takes a lad. Matter of fact, Saul cast a javelin, the Bible says, at Jonathan. And Jonathan leaves and takes a lad, and you know the story of the arrows that he shoots off into the field. It came to pass, verse 35, in the morning, that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master, but the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them into the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south. Fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So far as we know, from this point forward, David and Jonathan had little to no contact. Chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, verse number 1, now records for us the fulfillment of the covenant that was made between David and Jonathan. Jonathan's dead. Saul's dead. Saul's household is dead. So far as David knows, there's no one else that's living from Saul's household. But because of the covenant that he made, he needed to be sure. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I like that. You know, we show someone kindness because they were kind to us. But have you ever showed kindness to someone else because of another? God certainly has. He showed kindness unto you and I tonight that are His children, for Christ's sake. Every benefit that you and I enjoy, every grace, every good gift of God is ours because of Christ's sake. So David asked the question, is there any left of the house of Saul? The purpose was, or the reason was, he had made a covenant with one that he loved greatly. Is there anyone left that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Roughly 22 years have passed from the time that the covenant was made between David and Jonathan until this revelation that there is the son of Jonathan that's alive. But he's lame on his feet. He's not going to be of much use to the king. But for Jonathan's sake, because of a covenant that was made, David must go forward. And David wanted to do that. To willingly show some favor towards Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. As I said, this covenant was entered into before Mephibosheth was ever born. And we'll have more to say about this in just a moment. We find in verses 2 and 3 that the benefactor of David's generosity was one who had a malady from birth, such that prevented him from coming to the king. We further find in the Word of God that Mephibosheth was not even looking for the king. Mephibosheth did not expect any royal treatment. Mephibosheth could not have gotten himself before the king even if he wanted to. He was physically unable to do anything of that sort for himself. In verse number 5 of this same chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9, we learn also that it was the king who inquired, who sought out and made it possible for Mephibosheth to be brought to him. Verse number 5, then King David sent and fetched him, Mephibosheth, out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. You know what Lodabar means? The place of no pasture. Lodabar is a desert place. Lodabar is a place that does not afford a person the proper nutrients and ingredients from which they can grow. This is where the lame man Mephibosheth dwells. And the king sought him out. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. It's interesting that the king addressed a man who was lame, that could benefit the king in no way. Yet he addressed him by name. The king who was in a position to get even, who would have rightly commanded that anyone associated with Saul die. Because after all, Saul was his enemy and sought his life. Yet the king, though he was in a position to meet or exert out punishment, calls him by his name, Mephibosheth. I'm thankful that our Lord calls out His people by name. Abraham was called by his name. Moses was called by his name. Daniel was called by his name. Zacchaeus in a tree was called by his name. Lazarus was called by his name. The Baptist John was not only called by his name, but given his name by God. I'm thankful that in time God called me by my name. Amen. Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not. Could you imagine the weight that was taken off of this lame man's shoulders. He was brought in. He was set down before the king. He couldn't run from the king. He couldn't get away. He didn't know what he was going to face. But at the king's throne, he found mercy. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and," you know, it just keeps getting better, "and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Oh, the mercy that the king showed unto Mephibosheth. The grace.
Amen.
That he meets out to him. And we find in the Word of God that Mephibosheth didn't exalt himself. We find that this kindness that was shown him did not produce pride or arrogance, but rather humility and servitude. The servant is never greater than his master. And so in verse 8, the Bible says of Mephibosheth, "And he bowed himself and said, 'What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?'" And now Ziba comes back on the scene. "Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, 'I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table.' Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, 'According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth,' said the king, 'he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons.' And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelled in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet." The king didn't have the ability to grant him the opportunity to walk again. He was still a lame man. Mephibosheth is a picture, a wonderful picture of you and I. We're born into this world sinners. We're conceived in sin. It's the nature that's passed on to us. It's a flawed nature. It hinders us in many, many ways. And one of the chief ways in which it hinders us is it hinders us from coming to God. You see, when God's pleased to have mercy on an individual, God is the one that begins the process. We're not born into this world with some measure of goodness, with some measure of ability to seek after God. We're conceived in the womb at enmity with God. We don't want anything to do with Him. Mephibosheth was not looking for the king. But there came a time when the king was looking for Mephibosheth. And my dear friend, if you're saved tonight, there was a time in your life when God came looking for you. And whom the king seeks out, the king will find. I don't find in the record of this portion of the Word of God where Mephibosheth said, "Oh man, I can't do it. Stop dragging me. Don't lift me. I don't want to do that. No, when the king sent for Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth was ready to go to the king.
Amen.
But he went humbly. He went knowing. He didn't even deserve to be in the presence of the king. Let alone anything that the king could do for him. He deserved to die because of his affiliation. with Saul. And you and I deserve to die because of our affiliation with sin. He came before the king as a leper. And the king purposed to make him as one of his own sons. He, in essence, adopted him into the family.
Amen.
Still a lame man. You see, tonight, beloved, you and I are still sinners. Being a child of God doesn't change that. We're just sinners saved by God's grace. We still have defects. But God doesn't require of us to get rid of the defects before He'll accept us as a son. No, He seeks us as we are. We bow in His presence. He reveals to us that He has purposed to make us His son because of a covenant that was entered into before we were ever formed in the womb. What covenant was that? It was the covenant that was made between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father purposed the plan. God the Son purchased those that were given to Him. And God the Holy Spirit is the seeker, the one that draws, the one that makes that call effectual in the heart and life of an individual. And we willingly come before the King. This covenant was made in eternity past. Because of a great love that has eternally existed between the Godhead. And we were included in that. God has loved us with an everlasting love. I'm not perfect. I don't generally love people who are unlovely. If they have a loving disposition and they're amiable, I get along with them pretty good. If they're ugly and nasty in their demeanor, I normally don't get along with them too well. I'll remove myself from their presence. But God loved us even in our most unlovely, ungodly state. He loved us because of a covenant that was made with His Son. His Son was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before the first man was formed of the dust of the earth and breath breathed into his nostrils by Almighty God, this covenant was already made. We find in the Word of God that through the drawing of the Holy Spirit, we're brought into the presence of the King of Kings. We're given a love. A love's placed in our hearts by Almighty God. His love is shed abroad in our hearts, Paul writes in Romans. God gives that love. We're not born with it. Oh, we have an eros love. A phileo love. A love for one another. But an agape love, beloved, we're not born with that. God gives that. And when God imparts into us that love then causes us and brings us and draws us, makes us willing in the day of His power. We find, as I said, that the king called Mephibosheth by name, and how the Bible says in the book of John that the Lord Jesus Christ calleth His own by name. He received him as he was for Jonathan's sake. A lame man One that's going to require a lot of attention. Because think about it. A lame man can't do an awful lot. If you go to Walmart, you'd have to dress that lame man. You'd have to pick him up. You'd have to move him to the mode of transport, whatever that is. Buckle him in. When you get there, you just can't hop out and get yourself a shopping cart and go shopping, can you? No. You've got to go and get a chair that's designed to carry a human body. And you're going to have to get him out of that vehicle and put him in that chair and strap him in. And the whole time you're shopping, you can't just leave that person. You've got to be concerned about them and the items that you went to shop for. My point is, your life is almost totally consumed with this other individual. And God has received us in our present condition. Lame. Can't see. Can't hear. And God cares for us.
Amen.
Physically and spiritually, He gives us everything that we need. I like that where He said, don't worry. You'll eat at the king's table. And did you see what he ate? See what David identified as his food? It was going to be bread. Thou shalt eat bread continually at my table. We just sang tonight, thou art the bread of life. Break thou the bread of life, Lord, unto me. God gives us bread, not necessarily that bread that profits us physically, but He is the bread of life. He gives us of Himself.
Amen.
For our eternal good. We find that Ziba, his sons, and his servants were granted a measure of grace because of their association with Mephibosheth. You see, they weren't related to Saul. They weren't a part of the covenant. They were simply associated with Mephibosheth, so the blessings of the king, well, they passed down onto these that were associated with them. You might be here lost tonight, and you faithfully attend the services of a local and independent Bible-believing missionary Baptist church, a.k.a. a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still a blessing that passes off on you because of your association with the people of God. I firmly believe that in Olmsted, Kentucky, there is a blessing in this community because of this church that's placed here. Not a doubt in my mind. Because wherever God is, and where two or three are gathered together, He's there. Wherever God is, those that are around Him are always blessed. That's why you find in the New Testament, wherever Christ was, they bring the sick and the lame and the deaf and the blind. They bring them to try to get them in the presence of Christ. You know, no one died in the presence of Christ. Had a conversation with, was it Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother would not have died. I had mentioned to one of the brothers of the church years ago, I said, you know what was interesting? One of the things interesting about Christ is no one's ever died in His presence. And he said, well, the thieves on the cross died. I said, they did, after Christ. They came to break His legs, Christ's legs, but they knew they found He was already dead. He'd given His life, but they had to break the legs of the malefactors. They brought these lame and infirm to Christ because they knew that there was a blessing associated with just being in the presence of the King. So we find that Ziba, his sons, and his servants were granted a measure of grace because of their association with Mephibosheth. Beloved, were it not for that, they would not have received favor of the king. I believe that if you live in a home that's a godly home, the Lord was pleased to save me last month in 2003. Last month I enjoyed my spiritual birthday. One of the ladies of the church reminds us every so often of our spiritual birthdays. We are good about remembering our physical birthdays, but spiritual ones are even more important. But you know, I grew up in my home of my parents godly parents who loved the Lord, who taught us, who instilled in us discipline. Listen, we were made to go to church. It wasn't optional. It wasn't, if you have something else to do, that's fine, just stay home. Me and Mom's going to church. No, it was lottie-dottie as army terminology. Lottie-dottie, everybody was going to church. Every time the church door was open. I never heard anybody say, Steve, where's Julie? Is she sick? If my mom wasn't feeling well, she went to church. There was no excuses in our home for not attending the house of God. I was a lost boy. But I look back on my life and I see the prevenient grace of God upon me, because it pleased God to birth me into the home of a godly mother and dad. What was the problem with Ziba and Mephibosheth? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 19 once again. Remember, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Remember that verse? To whom much is forgiven, they love much. To whom little is forgiven, they love little. Oh, the grace and compassion and mercy shown unto Mephibosheth. Absalom had desired to rise up against his dad. He wanted the throne for himself. Ziba, remember, was the servant of Saul. He's identified as the servant of Saul. Even after Saul's dead, he's identified as the servant of Saul. Ziba, I believe in his own mind, knowing that the king, David, had went away. He's still the king, but he's not occupying the throne. And the support for Absalom is growing. There's a movement. You know, we went through this last year, didn't we? The movement. You know, the feel the burn and all this other stuff they had on TV. And a lot of people got behind that movement. And Mrs. Clinton was just left trying to figure out, what in the world can I do to gain traction? Because the movement had taken hold. Well, this was the movement. It was the attempt by Absalom to dethrone the king. There's a movement going on today. Amen. And it seems to be gaining in strength. I believe in a great way, led by the Muslim community. Islam is one of the fastest growing religions on the face of the earth. No, I take that back. Islam is the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth. Roman Catholicism is a distant third. But they're all false religions. There's a movement going on today. And the movement is led by one who is desirous of dethroning the king. Our great adversary, the devil, will not be content unless he can dethrone the king. And that'll never happen. But he has instilled within the minds of many people today this idea that it's possible. So we have people today that love who they want to love and live where they want to live and do what they want to do, what feels right to them. And those that are associated with the blessings of God because of their affiliation with God's people see this going on, and that becomes the focus of their mind. And you know what they taught me in driving school years ago? Where you look, you'll go. You ever go down the road and see a yard sale and you start looking, you drive off the road? It's proven. You look where you go. And there are many today that are looking at the world and the world system, and they're willing to just follow along with whatever's said. Whatever the movement, however the movement flows, they're willing to get in with the movement. And their love for the Lord begins to wane. But it's not everyone's love. The love of many shall wax cold. Ziba sees this movement going on. He sees Absalom seeking the throne, and he thinks in his mind, you know what? Absalom's going to get the victory. I believe Absalom's going to kill his dad. And if he does, well, I'm going to have to establish my loyalty to Absalom. So as Absalom is, or as Ziba is preparing some asses, he's saddling up these asses with an abundance of bread and food and goods. Mephibosheth's watching what's going on and said, "Hey, wait a second. I need to saddle me up an ass if you're going to see the master. Oh, I want to be where he is. I want to see him again. It's been a while since I've been able to sit at the table with him. And I long for that day when I can eat bread with him at the table again." We have that privilege, Brother Jim mentioned it, of eating at the Lord's table, at the Lord's supper. One day we're going to be able to partake of the Lord's supper with him. Mephibosheth said, "Oh, how I want to go." And before he could get an ass prepared, Ziba takes off with the goods because he thinks Absalom's going to be the next king. But oddly enough, he's found out by who? David. David asks the question, "Oh, Ziba, what are you doing?" Notice here in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Let me see if I can find this for you. Look, if you will, chapter 6, maybe that's it. I was thinking 19. That's it. Verse number 1. Thank you, brother. "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba the servant of Mephibosheth met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, 'What meanest thou by these?'" Well, no. What do I tell the king now? I've got all this caravan of goods. I'm getting ready to take care of myself. And now I meet King David. "Well," Ziba says, "the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young man to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." God uses the provision of this man who in his mind thinks he's going to go and be loyal to Absalom and his followers. God provides for David and his men while they're there in the wilderness. But that's not what's most important to David. Not only was the heart of the adopted son drawn to the king, but the king's heart was drawn to the adopted son. Look at the next verse. "And the king said, 'And where is thy master's son?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.'" That was a lie. That was a bold-faced lie to the king. Mephibosheth wasn't waiting there in Jerusalem for all the goods to be handed to him. He was there waiting for the king to return. He was a loyal follower. Now, if you will, go to 2 Samuel chapter 19. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his beard nor trimmed his dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace." Paul wrote these words. This was Paul's desire. "That I may know him," Christ. "That I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Not only is it given unto you and I to believe on His name, but also to suffer for His name's sake. And from the moment David departed, Mephibosheth was willing to undergo the same sufferings, the same discomforts, the same peril that his master was going through. That's why he didn't shave. That's why he didn't dress his feet. That's why he never washed his clothes. Because David didn't have that ability, nor that opportunity. David couldn't be out there shaving, and David didn't have a way to wash his clothes. And Mephibosheth wanted to be affiliated with his master, the king. And so when David, contrary to what many had believed would ever happen, they thought David would die and Absalom would be the next king. David returns to Jerusalem. In verse 25, it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, "Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." Mephibosheth cast himself at the disposal of his master and said, "Listen, my heart went with you. Where you went, I went. The sufferings that you were involved in, I was involved in it too. And I longed for one thing, and that was for you to return. And you're here. Whatever you've been told, it's a lie, but do whatever is good in your eyes with me. I'm your servant. I'm your property. For all of my father's house were but dead men before the Lord my king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" In other words, all that I have, all the blessings that I've enjoyed, and because of you. And all the blessings that you and I enjoy as the people of God has been because of Christ. And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." Remember what Ziba said? Oh, he's back in Jerusalem. He's waiting for all the land and all the property that belonged to Saul. That's what he's waiting for. So David proves the love of Mephibosheth. He says, "Listen, why are you bringing your matters to me about the land? I've already divided the land between you and Ziba." Remember when Solomon had that little baby? Because of the woman who said, let's eat this child, and the other, it came time for the next one, and they didn't want to give up the baby, so the lady runs to Solomon and says, "Oh, Solomon," says, "look, this was the agreement that we had." He said, "Okay." He said, "I'll tell you what to do. Let's just cut the baby in half. You get half, and she gets half." The lady said, "That sounds good to me." So Solomon went back, and the mother of the baby was there. He said, "You're going to have the baby cut in half. You'll get half and the other baby." And she said, "Oh no, let her have the baby." It proved the mother of that child. Look at the proof of the love of Mephibosheth for his master. And Mephibosheth, verse number 30, said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." All that Mephibosheth wanted was for the king to return. He didn't want houses. He didn't want land. He didn't want gold. He didn't desire silver. He only wanted to be in the presence of the king again. And God's people tonight, the true sheep of the house of Israel, I believe desire one thing. And that's to be in the presence of our king, who's went away. Our old adversary, he's trying to develop a coup. He wants to dethrone the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can't do it.
Seems like the folks that are following Him are getting larger and larger, and the world seems to be gaining the advantage. Men are rising saying, where is the promise of His return? You bunch of fools, all things have continued from ever since they began. He's not coming again. Well, it never rained before, but it rained. And though the world doesn't think the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back again, He's coming back again. And it's unto us as His people to maintain our loyal love and devotion to Him. Regardless of what obstacles we face. Regardless of the difficulty. He provides for our needs every single day. He gives us far more than we deserve. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Mephibosheth loved his master all the way to the end. And all he wanted was to be in the presence of the King. I ask you tonight, how deep is your love?